Judges chapter 16. I draw your attention to the verse 20 tonight. The Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. The man of God, abandoned by God. That's what we have in our text here. The man of God is abandoned by God. The Lord was departed from him. This is how Samson's escapade with Delilah has left him. This is how this sad state of affairs has come about, because of his being with Delilah. And this sad state of affairs we want to consider tonight. The first thing I want to draw your attention to is the fact of God's departure. The Lord was departed from him. A cold, truthful fact. It's a clear statement that God has abandoned him. This means that the Lord has gone from him. The Lord went from him. The verb occurs a couple of times in this chapter. It's normally translated went. The Lord just went. He just went. He's lying on Delilah's knee, and the Lord just got up and went. He just went. He left him. That's the first time we read that about Samson. Many of the commentaries have forsaken him long before this. Many a preacher of the life of Samson has given up on the man of God long before this. Some preachers even have given up on him at the very start, when he went down to the Timnah. But you know something? God was with him in Timnah. And God was with him in the rock Etam. And God was with him in Lehi. And God was with him in Gaza. But he's not with him in the house of Delilah. God is with him no more. God is very long-suffering with his people. But even God's patience has a limit, if we're stubborn and foolish. Does not the Bible say the Lord never forsakes his people? It does say that. And the sense of that is he never completely abandons them. However, he may depart from them for a season. It can happen, and that's what's happening here. It can happen in a believer. It can happen to you. It can happen to me. It can even happen to a church, a congregation. The Lord can forsake a congregation. It can happen to a pulpit. The Lord can forsake the pulpit. It'd be awful to be in that church, full of people, but the Lord's not in the pulpit. It's frightful, and it's something we should dread. It's something we should really be concerned about. It should be something that we should want to avoid. It was something David dreaded. You remember he prayed, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit, Lord. Don't let him depart. He prayed in another psalm, Psalm 71. He says, cast me not off in the time of old age. Now, that's not a time you want to be forsaken of God, I can tell you. Because that's a time when the pains come, and when the troubles come, and when death comes knocking at the door. And you don't want the Lord to have left you then. In the time of old age, he says, don't forsake me. Don't forsake me when my strength faileth, he said. And now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Don't leave me. Don't leave me the way you left Samson. David says, don't leave me like that. God, on numerous occasions, as we read the Old Testament, did leave his people. He left Israel on occasions. He left Judah on occasions. One time he said, I will remove Judah out of my sight, as I have removed Israel out of my sight. And I'll cast off this city, Jerusalem, which I have chosen, and the house, even the house of which I said I put my name in it, even of that house, God says, I'll cast it off and I'll go from it. He'll even leave his house where he put his name. It can happen. The Lord may and often does leave us to our own devices. And that's what's happening here. Samson is left by God to his own devices. And he's going to find out that it's a very bitter experience. The fact of God's departure. The second thing that I want to consider with you is the reason for it. We must inquire into the cause of this abandonment. Is there not a cause? It was not for nothing that the Lord left them. If the Lord left him, the fault is in Samson and not in God. You see, the Lord doesn't change. The Lord's not changeable. Like, you know, friends change and they come and they go. But this isn't why the Lord's gone. The Lord hasn't gone because he's a changeable friend. He's unchangeable. But the Lord is gone because Samson has changed. And because Samson has changed, the face of the Lord has to change towards him. Because the Lord doesn't smile on iniquity. And he doesn't laugh at sin. And if we change and leave the holy path, then the Lord's face will change. And he'll go from us. And this is what has happened here. If the Lord has left Samson, it's because somewhere Samson has left God. That's the truth of the matter. You remember how God said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you to such an extent that he won't even hear you anymore, said the prophet Isaiah. Your sins have driven him away. Your iniquities, your carelessness has caused him to depart. That's what's happened here in Samson's life. You remember how we were doing the book of Joshua? And Israel went up to Ai and, oh, why is the Lord not among us? Why has he forsaken us? At this very important juncture in our pilgrimage in the land of promise, why has he left us? You remember how God said, Israel have sinned. And they have transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they've eaten of the accursed thing, and have stolen and dissembled also. They've lied, and they've covered up, and they've hid it by the stuff. It's been a whole cover-up. And the Lord just went, he that confesseth sin and forsaketh it shall have mercy. But he that covers it shall not prosper. And so Samson somewhere has undoubtedly grieved God. What has he done? Well, we read the account. He's done so much. He has betrayed the Lord. He has revealed the secret of his strength. He has allowed his hair to be shaved. And in physically allowing his hair to be shaved, he has ceased to be a Nazarite. But it didn't just start when his hair was shaved. That was the finish. He ceased to be a Nazarite long before that in his heart. It really begins in verse 4.
He loved a woman in the valley of Sorek whose name was Delilah. He spends time with her, a lot of time with her. He seems to have a relationship with her outside of marriage. It has every appearance of being a physical relationship. Now, we know that this is the third woman in Samson's life, but the only one that's named. We're not told either that she was a daughter of the Philistines. She may have been Jewess, living in the valley of Sorek. We don't know, but certainly she had an ungodly heart. The first woman he married with dignity. The second woman was a harlot, we know, but there's a question mark over why he's in her house. But here there is no question mark, and no dignity, and no honor. She's not a good woman that he has joined himself to. She's easily bought. He teases with her, he plays with her, he gets drawn in deeper and deeper into entanglement with her, until he lies on her lap, fast asleep. A terrible deterioration is seen, particularly in verse 17. He told her all his heart. He has opened up his whole heart to her. Even the areas that are for God only. Even areas of his heart where God alone has the place of reigning. He's opened his whole heart to her. She's become his idol. The last thing we see is him fast asleep on her knees. Verse 19. She made him sleep upon her knees. She knows what she's going to do. She's going to take those locks off. She put him to sleep like a baby there. And he went to sleep like a baby there. Not one bit disturbed. Not one bit caring. Here's a man who has lost his separation. Here's a man who has an unholy alliance. Here's a man who's indulging the flesh. Here's a man in carnality. Here's a man in the world now. Here's a man. He's not on his knees praying. He's on her knees sleeping. That's what he's doing. Here's a man who's broken his vow and betrayed his God. He's got into a state and he doesn't appear to have any conscience about it. Not one bit disturbed. He's careless and he's in a sinful sleep. And brethren and sisters, it's in the text because we have to guard ourselves lest we also sleep of death. We have to watch what we give our hearts to. We have to watch what we allow to come into our hearts. We have to watch what we set our affections upon. We have to guard ourselves from every cause of languishing. Delilah means languishing. And she's the one who makes spiritual giants languish. On Delilah's knees then, Samson's not praying. He's not reading his Bible. He's not worried about the prayer meeting on Delilah's knees. He is utterly careless. What is draining our strength? What is causing our spiritual stamina to fail? What Delilah is putting us to sleep? What is it that we won't give up? Why do we sit still at it and spend time with it? Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause why people don't desire the prayer meeting? Is there not a cause why people don't even have the spiritual stamina to get out to God's house? There's people that get out to God's house and they're racked with pain and have cancer and have this and have that and the other, and they can still get out to God's house. And there are people who have a weak hold out of this, out of that, out of the other. And they don't get the strength to get out to God's house. But I tell you this, they get the strength to get up the tower and get around all the shops. Why do they not have the strength for spiritual things? What's the cause of the loss? So the reason for the departure. The third thing is the ignorance of this departure. This is an amazing thing. He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. That's the amazing thing. He didn't even know it. He didn't know the Lord had gone. He was so ignorant of this. He didn't realize it. The Spirit of God even tells us the way he's thinking. He wakes up. He wakes up, and what does he say? The Holy Ghost tells us his thoughts, tells us what he's thinking. Now, how did the writer know what was thinking? The Holy Spirit's the writer. And the Holy Spirit is letting us into the thoughts of Samson. And it says here in the text, I will go out as at other times before, and I'll shake myself. I'll just go out as before. This is what he's thinking. He thinks he's still the same man. He thinks he still has the same strength. The same strength as before when he tore the land apart. As before when he slew the Philistines with the jawbone of an ass. As before when he took the Gaza gates. He says, I'll just go out as before. I'm the same man. No, you're not, Samson. He didn't know. He didn't know the Lord was gone. He didn't know. He's self-confident and presumptuous. Oh, I'll go and witness to a soul the way I did before. I'll go and teach my Sunday school class the way I did before. I'll get up into the pulpit and preach a sermon the way I did before. I'll just do it the way I did before. The way I've done it all the time. I'll just shake myself and it'll be all right. It'll just be like all the other times. The Lord was there. No, no. Not this time. I'll still have the fire in my wrist to burn the ropes. I'll still get through it the way I always have. No, Samson. Not this time. This time, you're on your own. Imagine being on your own. Samson just doesn't know it yet. Strangers have devoured his strength, God said of Israel. That's what did it. Strangers have devoured his strength, eaten it up. But that's not all. God says strangers have devoured his strength. And he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. And here and there are gray hairs upon him. But he doesn't know it. That's what God said of Israel. He's old and frail and gray-headed, and he doesn't even know it. And strangers like Delilah and all those ungodly friends and all those ungodly influences that we lie in our head, they devour strength, but we don't know it. So this state of mind in Samson just shows how out of touch with God he is. You would think if the Lord left you, you would know it. And the fact is, many Christians don't seem to know it. They still think it's the same. You see, on the cross, whenever our Savior was forsaken, he knew it. Because he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He knew it. Samson didn't know it. The Lord Jesus was well aware of it because his walk with his Father was so close, so intimate, that when it was interrupted, he knew it. But the Lord's away, and Samson doesn't even know it. What kind of a walk with God did he have? He doesn't even know it. The Lord is gone. You see,
at the cross, the Father and the Son didn't drift apart. There was a sudden rift at the cross, a great rift. And we know why that great rift was there. It wasn't his sin. It was our sin. He knew the Father had gone. He knew it. But the fact is, in Samson's life, it wasn't a sudden rift. It has long been a drift apart from the Lord. It started off so subtle. He just saw the woman. And then he went down to her house. And he went down again. He went down again. He went down again. It just drifted apart. Day by day by day by day. And he was insensitive to losing out with God, really, about the matter. The fact of the matter is, he's been sleeping a long time. He just hasn't noticed. You remember Pilgrim? Remember how he had to mourn, Pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, that is? I don't know if you've read it or not. But you should read it, if you've never read Pilgrim's Progress. Certainly the first part. He had to mourn his sleep. He fell asleep at an arbor once. He had a precious roll in his pocket. It was a roll of his assurance. But when he fell asleep, it dropped out. He didn't know, and he went on and on and on the journey. And I read, he was among some men, and what he heard disturbed him. But thinking again of what he had heard from the men, he felt in his bosom for his roll, that he might read therein and be comforted. But he felt and he found it not. Then was Christian in great distress and knew not what to do. For he wanted that which used to relieve him and that which should have been his pass into the celestial city. Here, therefore, he began to be much perplexed and knew not what to do. At last he bethought himself that he had slept in the arbor, that is, on the side of the hill. And falling down upon his knees, he asked God's forgiveness for that his foolish act, and then went back to look for his roll. But all the way he went back, who can sufficiently set forth the sorrow of Christian's heart? Sometimes he sighed, sometimes he wept. Oftentimes he did chide himself for being so foolish to fall asleep in that place, which was erected only for a little refreshment for his weariness. Thus, therefore, he went back, carefully looking on this side and on that, all the way as he went, if haply he might find his roll that had been his comfort so many times in his journey. He went thus till he came again within sight of the arbor where he sat and slept. But that sight renewed his sorrow the more by bringing again, even afresh, his evil of sleeping into his mind. Thus, therefore, he now went on bewailing his sinful sleep, saying, "Oh, wretched man that I am, that I should sleep in the daytime, that I should sleep in the midst of difficulty, that I should so indulge the flesh as to use that rest for ease to my flesh, which the Lord of the hill hath erected only for the relief of the spirits of pilgrims." And on he goes, revealing what such a waste it was of time, and how he had to make that same journey three times. He'd come forward, he had to go back, and then he had to go and do it again to get back where he'd left. All because he slept and lost something. You see, Bunyan knew his Bible. Bunyan knew that everybody in the Bible who ever slept lost something. They lost something. You can't sleep in the Christian life. You'll lose something. And the greatest loss you could have is the loss of God. The loss of the Lord. And that's why the Bible says, knowing the time that now it's high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Samson was in vain, no doubt. But let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And Samson's going to find out how dark that night is. So he doesn't know. He's ignorant of this. Delilah knows. You see, the thing about it is, other people know when the Lord has left you. You just don't know yourself. Delilah knows. She knows the power's gone. She knows he's not the same man. Delilah knows. The Philistines know. They're not going to go near him until they know. But now they know. They've been persuaded by Delilah. Now they know. They take hold of him. They know. But Samson doesn't. He's the last one to find out. And brothers and sisters, that's usually the way it is. Your spouse will know. Your children will know. Your friends in the pew will know. And in the workplace will know. They'll know. They'll know when you're not yourself. They'll know when you're not just the same man with God. They'll know. Everybody will know. And it'll hit you last.
Lastly then, the fruit and outcome of this departure. Yes, initially Samson didn't know, but he's soon going to find out. He got up, as at other times he thought, he shook himself, and he took hold of the Philistines and he tore them apart. No, that's not what it says. It says, the Philistines took him. That never happened before. When God was with him. When God was with him, they couldn't touch him. He was untouchable when God was with him. They were afraid to touch him. But you see, once they knew God had left them, boys, they took him then. They took him then. You see, when your enemies find out God has gone from you, they'll take you then. They'll go to your face then and give it to you. When they know he's gone, you need the Lord. You can't drive him away from you. Because when you drive him away from you, your enemies will come in like a flood and they'll get you. The Philistines took him. They took him. He's the last to know. But whenever he gets those Philistine hands on him and he can't shake them off, he knows. The Lord has left me. He's left me. There are five stages in this outcome. The Holy Ghost paints every stage. Five stages that made it all too obvious to him. Each stage, at the end of it all, Samson's saying, where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? The Philistines took him. Stage one. Where's the Lord now, Samson? They put out his eyes. Stage two. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord that put out my eyes? Where's the Lord that put out his eyes? And they brought him down to Gaza. Down to Gaza. And he's going through the gates that he tore apart. And they're not there. And he's going through those gates that he tore apart. He can't see them now. He knows they're still not there. They haven't fixed them yet. Where's the Lord? Where's the Lord? He's not at the gates. They brought him down to Gaza. He's not at the gates. They bound him. They bound him with fetters of brass. Brass. On the last stage, he ground in the grain house, which was a prison house. A slave's chore. And there he is in the darkness and in the blindness and in the loneliness without God, grinding the grain to feed the Philistines. I tell you, that's a man God has left. He's left him. I don't want to be this man. This pulpit. And you don't want to be that man in that pew. And you don't want to be this man when you're on your deathbed. And you don't want to be this man when you're told you've got cancer and you've only a year to live. You don't want to be this man. He's lost his strength now. The Philistines took him. Sin has weakened him. God has left him weak. He can't resist sin anymore. He's weakened. He's no strength. He doesn't battle sin anymore. He's weakened. He's no strength. God has left him. He's no sight. See, when God leaves you, you don't see things. One thing a Christian has through the Holy Spirit is discernment. You see, when God leaves you, you lose that discernment. You don't see things clearly. You don't know what's going on. You're not getting the report by the Lord. You're not seeing the way the things are. He's lost his sight. He can't see now. He can't see the Lord. He can't see his enemies. He can't see even his hand in front of him. He can see nothing. When the Lord leaves you, he'll see nothing. And your enemies will be queuing up to make sure you see nothing. They'll be pulling your eyes out. They'll be pulling the wool over your head. They'll be laying you astray. They'll be telling you this and that and the other, and you'll not know what to believe. Because you'll have no discernment of what men are telling you. Because the Lord's gone. The Lord's gone. And you'll lose your honor and your dignity. They brought him down to Gaza. Imagine that. Those big gates which he'd lifted up and taken away. And now he's coming down blind, down through them again. The dignity and the honor are gone. It's all gone. It's all was for nothing. And his liberty's gone. And I'll tell you something else that's gone. His joy. His joy is gone. He's grinding in the prison. Is there a more miserable? You know, John Milton was a great poet. And he's written about this part of Samson's life. And he has put a lot of thought on it. And there's hardly a more terrible picture than the picture of Samson sitting blind. After all that he was, sitting blind now, joyless and in misery, grinding in a Philistine prison. There's nothing worse than that. A picture of misery. When the Lord's gone, you'll be a picture of misery. You'll just be a miserable Christian. You'll look like one who's grinding in the prison house. The joy will go. The joy will be away when the Lord goes. Because there's no joy without God. The way of transgressors is hard. The backslider in heart. Just in heart now. It's a long time before it shows in life. But the backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. Thine own wickedness, God says, shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. I think Samson's learned the lesson. The chains reprove him. The blindness reproves him. The making food for the Philistines reproves him. He therefore sees now and knows that it is an evil thing and bitter that he has forsaken the Lord and that my fear is not in thee. You're going to find out that that's a bitter and an evil thing. But mercifully, it is not the end. The Lord restoreth my soul, David said. And in Samson's life we read, Howbeit, howbeit, is there something else? Yes, there is. Howbeit, after all of this, howbeit, oh, the grace of our Lord Jesus. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again.